All right, welcome in. Thursday, August 7th edition of the Jason and John Show. And for the first time since week 18, we have multiple NFL football games. I feel like I'm working for the NFL at this point, I got to say. Like, I'm, like, pumping it up. I'm, like, I feel like I should be on the payroll of the NFL at this point. But I'm excited. I'm excited about having NFL preseason action. It's basically all we have. I mean, the transparency has been the key of getting through the week, and that's about all we've got to look forward to. But it is going to be an interesting night, and we'll talk about it. But you know, you're going to have multiple, you know, starting quarterbacks playing in this game. So, you know, in these games. So there's some compelling storylines tonight, I would say, and so I'm looking forward to it. I love football. I've been fiending for football, and we've got it. So very much looking forward to that. One of the cool things that NBA TV will do is, like, you know, they call them late night finds, Brad. Not on NBA TV, but like on TikTok, like late night finds. It's like just random basketball highlights, you know, like from 2017. And, yeah, then, you know, it's somebody that was at the game, you know, and they were filming it, you know. So it's just a random shot or a random play or whatever. Like, NBA TV does this, like, I can't remember how they, like, playoff playback or something. And they'll just, like, late at night. Last night, I think they had the Aces and Valkyries game, so they didn't do it. But, like, most nights, NBA TV will just play a random playoff game.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I get into those.
Like, not like from last year, right, you know, but like
retro,
from,
nostalgic, 90s type.
Yeah, well, not quite that long ago, but, like, just long enough to where you don't really remember what
happened.
Within
5 years, would it be?
Yeah, like 2018, okay, 2022. You know,
I gotcha.
Just, you know, kind of random playoff games, which I kind of like to watch and look back. I mean, but that's the part of the calendar we're in.
Right. You know, you're replaying stuff. I saw pillow fighting a week ago on the Ocho on ESPN.
Yeah, that's a real thing. Huh?
So I guess there is the Ocho is what ESPN brands themselves as between these seasons, when after NHL, after the NBA draft is done, after NBA Summer League is done, and then you have the gap before the NFL preseason, which starts tonight.
Right.
Because it's really, there's only one super dead week now. There used to be 2 months, and now the NBA and the NFL have strung together a summer league, their draft systems,
right,
their free agency systems, and their preseason to make up to where the Hall of Fame game, you're sort of getting into it, obviously.
That's
not regular,
right,
season. I say all that to say, I was watching ESPN while I was on vacation, and I'm like, between that and the Bristol baseball game, there was nothing. And so you see two SportsCenter anchors with loaded pillows, sponsored, and they're hitting each other in the head in a boxing ring.
Yep.
And I'm like, is this really where we're at right now on the calendar?
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I don't know where they find these people, but they're out there, apparently.
Yeah.
So
professional,
anyway,
pillow fighting, PFL.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine they're making a ton of money, but they're out there trying. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have the pillow fight, you have the slap league.
A slap league's interesting, yeah.
You know, which, you know, that's out. I mean, that's like a Dana White-backed deal, I think, mm-hmm, the slap fighting league.
That's scary, man. Some of those dudes get knocked out in those
power slap is what it's called,
because it's full hand on face.
It's owned by Dana White.
Okay, so it's a real thing.
You know, I mean, I think it's pretty popular.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's in season three.
Wow.
So it started on TBS, then it moved to Rumble, and now it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
all the time. Everything's going to YouTube.
Well, and everybody will watch that. You know, they'll get some hits off of that.
Just, I saw, like, randomly, like, Amazon laid off like 110 podcasting employees, and I think one of the things that they cited in it was like the migration to YouTube. Like, that is where video content is, where all of this is headed. If it's not already there now, it's certainly where it's gonna be.
Twitch has done a pretty decent job with some broadcast.
Yeah, you got Twitch, you got Kick, you got YouTube, you got Rumble. I mean, those are the big ones.
Yep.
Kai Cenat, where does he do it?
Oh.
He does it on YouTube.
He's a YouTuber.
And Twitch.
Yeah.
So, and those places pay just unbelievable amounts of money. Like, you just could not even believe how much money these guys make.
Is it because of the preloads? That's where YouTube's making it up, and they're paying the providers on a number of users or views?
Yeah, I don't know where. I don't know. I honestly couldn't answer that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, obviously these guys get crazy.
It's ad revenue,
And that's probably a big part of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know exactly. You know, what the engagements would be.
Right.
You know, I mean, views would be a big part of it, which in turn is ad revenue. But I don't know the actual answer. So I don't want to answer it and then, you know, not be accurate.
But you saw the playoff game and it was it good? What was the game you were?
Oh, you know, I mean, it wasn't
random
last
ones?
Night. It's just random ones. Yeah, like not necessarily any like, you know, super special ones. It's just like, you know, oh, I remember when the, you know, I remember game three of the Warriors Celtics. Let me like tune in and see how that went. I don't know.
That's cool.
I say all that to say, that's the kind of the time we're in right now. All right, we're trying to watch.
I've been
old
watching
basketball
games. The Hunting Wives. Have you seen that one?
You know what? I can't watch TV. I've
Netflix.
Can't do it. I can't do
You're
it.
You're not gonna if it's not sports, you ain't in it. Well, that's part of the game you're in.
Yeah, I don't have the bandwidth to start a series.
Right.
I just don't. I mean, I don't have the because like a TV series requires you to engage in a way. You have to sit down. You have to be there a lot. And then you have to do it again tomorrow. You have 12 episodes. I got to remember, all right, this character's name, what happened. Like, I don't have, I can get through maybe a documentary.
Yeah, I like docs.
But I
did
can't
you watch
do
the Billy
series.
Joel one?
I've not watched the Billy Joel
you
one.
Oh, you have to. That is the best documentary I've seen in like a couple of years.
Gotcha.
It's that good. It's on HBO Max, by the way, folks.
Yeah, I have not watched anything really lately except old basketball games. But tonight, I'll be watching preseason, and that excites me.
That's good.
Drew Hill is going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies, sort of what the latest is there. He's going to be out of the golf tournament all weekend long, so we'll get into a little bit of that with him at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Raheem Palmer, our man from the Ringer, is going to join us. I'm going to see him next week in Vegas. I got a lot of people
catching
up with.
Got a lot of meetings,
man.
Going.
I got a lot of people I'm catching up with, so I'm excited about it. He'll join us at 1:25. We'll talk NFL preseason, little Grizzlies, little you know, current issues. Raheem's always good, so he'll join us at 1:25. So that is the show today. But without further ado, got a lot to get to. Let's do a little thing we call over-under.
All right, let's start out with Memphis basketball. The number of new big men, as we've talked about one of them this week that's already on the roster, the number they'll add before the season, John, and we'll set the number here at 1.5 new big men.
Yeah, so Penny was talking again today, I gather, out at the FESJC, and he's the one who talked about it. He's the one who talked about how many big men he wants to add. So why don't we just get it from him? This is Penny Hardaway out at the golf tournament, where he addressed a lot of things besides big men, but he did answer that question in this clip.
Penny, with Nolan obviously getting that head coaching job at Tennessee State, what do you expect to do about that vacancy on your staff? Are you promoting internally, or are you hiring somebody else?
I really haven't decided yet. I probably after this week, because I have a lot of, you know, things going on this week, I'll start thinking more about it. Losing Nolan was a big hit because, you know, he was a big part of what we did. But there are guys that are on staff that are very formidable and that can do the job. And there's been guys that for 7 years in a row that have asked me every time a vacancy happened, you know, if we could talk. So I just don't know where I want to go with it yet.
One of the other things we, at least I forgot to ask yesterday, was about the roster. Are you, at this point, have you decided if you're going to add anybody else?
Or? I want to add more bigs, at least two more bigs for sure. That's what I want to get, two more bigs.
Who's out there? I mean,
if you know somebody, let me know.
I got you.
We've been talking to a couple guys, but we want to add a couple more bigs before the fall.
But there hasn't been like an addition that we've missed.
No addition that you've missed. No.
How late is too late?
I guess when you can't do it at all anymore. You know what I mean? But I don't think there's ever a too late for a big. We're looking out for a big.
So you're gonna take this all the way to the enrollment deadline and see where you are?
Yeah, for sure. Until we get what we need. For sure.
Simon's still good?
Yeah, Simon's still good.
He's not here, right?
He is not here yet.
Can you elaborate on what's going on with him?
It's small things, minor things that we're just kind of overcoming. He will be here, though.
And then we also didn't get a chance to ask you about the investigation getting resolved. And now that that's in the rearview mirror, I mean, that's got to be
Yeah, we're glad it's over and that we can move forward. And we're just looking to just better ourselves in all areas.
All right, so a lot of things were addressed in that clip from Penny Hardaway, but I did enjoy the fact that he said, if you know anybody, you know, let me know.
He and if you look at this clip from Parth, and great job by Parth and the reporters out there, the vibes are awesome. Like, he just feels, it feels really good.
Well, yeah, look, he's in his element, all right? Let's be clear.
But there have been some of these years where it gets dicey. You know, you're asking about, of course, I guess he's got that thing in the rearview mirror, and there's a lot of positivity mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, last year, he, we talked about it at length. You know, he was not happy about doing any media.
Right.
You know, and, but again, the context is very important here.
That's right.
He's coming off of a year where he was a five seed. I mean, he's coming off mm-hmm. a year where he won 29 games. He's coming off a year where he won the American and the American tournament. What's to be upset about?
That's right.
What's to be mad about? Yeah. You know, I mean, let's do this when they're coming off a, you know, a year where they missed the tournament.
Missed the tournament,
which
yeah.
is what it was last year, mm-hmm. right? Very important to keep that context in mind. So I don't want to go too far with Penny's mood. But, yes, listen, I do think he feels like the program's in a good place. I, you know, if they can add two bigs, obviously, you know, I don't think there will be any impact players in that group. I mean, it's August 7th. And I think they'll add one more. I don't think they'll get to two. Mm. I mean, do you count Simon as an addition? He's already been announced, or you know, so I think that doesn't count as a new addition.
No.
So he means two more. I don't think they get to two more.
Okay.
But I will say I was excited that he had a little bit of an update on Simon.
Yeah.
I'm just worried he's going to get lost in the system.
Didn't think he was concerned in that clip. Like he didn't seem like pressed about it. Like,
no.
And then Parth followed up. He's like, yeah, just little things.
Also,
probably all oriented around getting him in the country.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And also, there is no such thing as too late for Penny Hardaway.
No, he laughed at that, too. He snickers when he says, well, you know, as long as they'll let me.
This is the guy who had, like, he added Naquan Tomlin in December.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he will add anybody anytime if he can, you know, if he thinks it'll help the
it's
team.
It's never over.
Yeah.
It's never over.
That's exactly right. So, anyway. That is absolutely the state of the union over there at the University of Memphis. So 1.5, I'm going to go under. I don't think there's two bigs out there worth adding.
Okay.
It's kind of how I would put it. You know, you want to have somebody that will help you at this point. And I don't know that there are two bigs that will be able to, and I understand it. I mean, you're really thin. Like you don't really have a true four. You know, you miss on a couple of guys that you were going after there in the spring, and you're basically going to ask, you know, my guy from UTR Rio Grande, Hassan Abdul Hakim. You're going to kind of ask him to play the four, and I don't know if that's really what he is. I'm sure mm-hmm. he could play that, but you know, that's the thing. Is like I'm throwing all these names at you, and like literally, I sympathize. Like nobody listening knows who the hell these people are. So like, how do you possibly have an opinion on Hassan Abdul Hakim, who played at UT Rio Grande Valley? But you got to trust. You got to trust that. You know. Mm-hmm. The numbers are there, and that he can do it. I mean, he's 6'8", 215, so he does have the body of a four, but he's got the skills of a guard, so, you know, I think maybe he could do both. So, anyway, I think the answer, though, to that question is under 1.5.
John, it's officially week two of the preseason. If we count week one is the Hall of Fame Bowl, where the Chargers bounced the Lions 34-7. So tonight you have the three matchups, and I ask you in this over-under segment, minutes of the preseason that John Martin will watch tonight, the over-under we've set is 179.5 minutes.
Well, as an employee of the NFL, I do have to do my job.
Yes.
This is week one of the preseason.
Okay, so we're week one.
The Hall of Fame game is technically not a preseason game.
Okay.
It is a preseason game, but they market it and term it and define it as its own thing.
Good.
Right?
Yeah.
So I do need you to get with the program
over
there.
Well, this, as an employee of the NFL, you're the man to talk to about it. You school me.
The Shield is forever.
Listen.
And you're trying to disrespect the Shield.
Actually, everybody works for the NFL at this point.
That is
after
true.
After yesterday's
that
news.
That is true. But again, I'm
on board.
Now
week
that,
one.
Now that we all know that the NFL is king.
Week
and
one.
And I mean reigning king.
Yes.
We're no longer saying this colloquially, right? Like, we mean it. That Roger Goodell is like determining law in this country now. I need you to get with the program, or else I will have to make some phone calls.
Okay.
This is week one, and it kicks off tonight with three games.
Okay.
So there's 60 minutes in each game.
Yep. 120 plus another 60, you got 180.
Right.
And so you're going under the total.
So 179.5.
All right.
Would be, if I go over that, that means I will have watched every single minute of every single game in the preseason.
Where are we at?
I'm going to go under. I'm not going to watch every single game.
Oh, John.
I'm going to watch probably
a lot, though. A lot.
I think the accurate number, if I had to say, would be 150.
It's a lot. That's more than most people.
I'm going to watch 150 minutes. I'm going to watch the first half of Colts and Ravens just to see. You know, I got to check in on my guy, Anthony Richardson, AR, because I still I'm holding on.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people would have jumped ship. They've said,
sure,
he can't do it. He can't be that NFL quarterback. And they might be right. Mm. I mean, it's very possible that they're right. It's not a good sign that we're going into year three here. He hasn't, rested the job, and now he's in a dogfight with Daniel Jones. That doesn't look great for us. But I'm gonna ride until the wheels fall off on AR. Okay, so I'm gonna watch the first half there, and I'm gonna support him telepathically. And then 6:30, I'll watch the full game Bengals Eagles because I do have a wager on that game. Joe Burrow, just for those, I watch preseason, so you don't have to. Burrow is expected to play about a quarter. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins expected to play about a quarter. So if you wanted to just kind of check in, watch a little bit of a quarter there, you will get offensive starters for the Cincinnati Bengals.
All right.
You will not be getting such from the Eagles. They won the Super Bowl, if you remember.
I've heard about that, yeah.
So I don't think they really care at all about the preseason with their, Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Saquon Buckley. I think they're definitely content to relax a little bit. The Bengals, on the other hand, are coming at this from, this is what they've sort of theorized. We've got off to slow starts every single year. We haven't done much in the preseason. Let's change that. Let's get off to a faster start. Who knows whether the two things are related? They think they could be. They're trying. And then, 9:00.
Let's go.
NFL Network.
Mm-hmm.
The autumn wind is a Raider. Compete makes his return to Seattle. That's right. And he is doing it by playing starters. He is going back to Seattle with the idea to run it up. Now, they're not going to play long. I mean, I don't think you're going to get, Ashton Jeffy's not going to have 18 carries, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you will see at least a drive or two from the Raiders starters. So I'm expecting it to be 14-0.
So Geno will be out there. We got him to start this thing.
Geno and Pete. I mean, it's a double motivation game for the Las Vegas Raiders here going back to Seattle. So Seattle doesn't care. They're not playing anybody. You will see some Jalen Milroe in the second half.
Okay.
If that intrigues you. But yeah, that's kind of the slate tonight. You're going to have starters for the Colts. All the road teams are like playing starters. None of the home teams are playing starters, which is kind of interesting. Colts playing starters for a half. Bengals playing starters for about a quarter. Raiders playing starters for about two series.
Very excited about Jenty. I saw the news yesterday that he's house shopping with his fit, and he's got this rookie deal, right?
Which is
a good one.
Yeah.
But the man is shopping in Mark Davis's neighborhood, and he wants to buy a $20 million mansion. Now, my advice, this is where you go broke, John.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hold the fort a little bit here.
Yeah.
And I am interested in what Jenty does. I'm excited about Jenty. I think he'll do well.
Yeah, I don't know how much homes are going for in Vegas. I do know that, in Florida, homes have kind of crashed a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's possible that values in Vegas have gotten a little bit better.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I think he feels very confident. Yeah. $22.7 million signing bonus.
Yeah, he's got that money sitting there.
That'll play,
but I mean, what I saw was he's going to spend all of it. He's going to be house poor. I mean, he's going to put it all in a house right out of the gate here.
You could buy a, $7.5 million home.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah, I hope he does.
Have no mortgage.
That would be smart.
And still have $15 million in cash.
Yeah, but I wouldn't go $20 million. He was looking at the $20 million Mark Davis mansion next door.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would not go that far, but especially because you're a running back, it could end tomorrow. But I would definitely say you can buy a very, very nice home in Las Vegas, in the Las Vegas area, for $7.5 million. That would be my budget. I'm not his financial
advisor. No, I ain't in his pocket.
You're in his pockets.
Yeah,
you're in his pockets
bit,
hard.
I guess.
But no, I think he's got plenty of wiggle room there, would be my guess. So if you want to see him, you'll probably see him a little bit tonight on the road in Seattle. So.
Number of Mannings that will enter the 2026 NFL draft. You're going to school me here. The Lions have set the number so there's one, but we have to figure out if he's in or out. 0.5, will he or won't he?
Yeah, so this one was pretty interesting.
Like where you're going with this.
I might actually do this. I might save this.
Oh, good.
Because we do have a rundown where I'm responsible for coming up with multiple stories in August.
I enjoy it. You've done a good job here. Let me know if you need.
I'm gonna save this, actually, and then we'll get back into it a little bit later. But we're going to come back, talk to Drew Hill, get his thoughts. There was some stuff that Billy Memphian today about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the wing rotation. We'll talk to him about that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN. Drew Hill! is a homer for the SEC in Alabama. He admits that. He admits that freely. And he covers the Grizzlies in the meantime. He begrudgingly covers something other than SEC football occasionally for the Daily Memphian. And he's in here now.
I don't know how good I'd be at impartially, covering the SEC at this point. I'm so far removed from it, you know? This is Roll Tide territory.
That's right.
Here. I went to the movie last week.
Yes.
Remember you asked me?
This is embarrassing.
It was just fine, by the way. Like, I'm not going to hype something up
right.
that I don't think
right.
deserves to be hyped up. But I did walk into the theater, and, like, the line for the concessions was, like, through the door. Every single person had on Bama gear.
Was Barrett Jones there?
I did not see Barrett Jones. He might have been.
Any other Memphians from who went to Alabama?
Yeah, a lot. We have a lot that work at the Daily Memphian.
I don't mean like I mean like they played football at Alabama, bro. Not like attended the university.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
I know that Barrett was the most. I feel like there was like some. Oh, we had Kewan Malone. Remember Kewan Malone? Does that name ring a bell to you?
No.
He ended up leaving and transferring back here, but he did go to Alabama. That's where he started his career. And ended up actually being pretty good at Memphis. I guess he never actually played in a game. He redshirted, and then he transferred back here. So that's probably why you don't remember him. You guys don't remember the ones that leave. Once you leave the Nick Saban orbit, you're dead.
I just asked what is Google's AI?
I think it's Gemini, right?
Yeah, Gemini. It says Justin Jefferson, the linebacker, not the Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. Justin Jefferson. Feels like I should have known that. 2020, 2024.
I don't remember that name.
Peyton Yates, defensive back from Eads, 2022 to present. I don't think he's a starter on the team. Anyway. Joshua McMillan and Barrett Jones are the two that...
Gemini thinks J.C. Latham is from Memphis. That's not true, right?
That can't... They messed this up. Listen, if you ever... Like, I have spent lots of time educating AI about the Memphis Grizzlies, because if you go in there and you start asking them questions, it'll be like, oh...
Yeah.
ChatGPT will say, Steven Adams is a big storyline this season.
That's
coming
right.
off of...
That's right.
So then I correct it. I say, no, ChatGPT. This is why AI can't take my job.
Well,
ChatGPT, you're wrong.
When you start helping it. I mean, you can't help it.
Yeah, you're right. I should just feed it misinformation.
To be honest, like, that's kind of where I'm at with AI. It's not really that reliable yet. I mean, it's going to be there probably because people like you feel some obligation to assist it. But, like, J.C. Latham was from Meridian, Mississippi. He's not from Memphis. And so, you know, I'm not going to correct that information. I'm not getting paid to do that. I don't feel like some civic obligation.
Yeah, but we all know you, John. You have strong feelings about being right. You love being right.
I do. I do love being right.
It's amazing.
But I don't want to.
You don't like correcting a computer.
No, because that computer is an existential threat to me, ultimately, and you. This is what I think about AI. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. I think AI has cheapened the value of the written word. I don't mean in the sense of like companies won't pay you to still write. I mean more so in your day to day. I don't know if you noticed this on your Facebook, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen over the last year or so.
I can't tell you the last time I was on Facebook.
Well, it's probably a good decision. But I can't tell you how many times over the last year or so where I have seen somebody write a long status about something, and it's just so clearly AI. It's so clearly AI because it has the patented stuff you're looking for, right? Like the M-dash, and I know how you write because I've read your stuff before.
Yeah, I used the M-dash before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, same here, you know, but I guess that's why the AI, you know, is so liberal with it. But, like, I don't know. Writing is hard. It's supposed to be hard. And I think AI has cheapened the appreciation that people have for the difficulty of the written word, because they can just type a prompt in. They can say, hey, do this for me. And they can just use it as their own and claim it as their own, Whereas, you know, you and I are never going to do that.
I agree with that. But I think there's a lot of things that AI can't do in terms of, like, AI can spit you facts about whatever. Like, for example, I've got a good example. One time I used AI for my job was actually when I had an inkling that the Grizzlies were going to announce that they were going to play in Europe, and I wanted to put together the list of European players.
Mm, yeah, I saw that.
I took the Grizzlies media guide, fed it into AI, because it's thousands of pages, and said, can you search through this guide and find every... And it couldn't do it perfectly.
Right, it missed some.
But I had to go back, double check with people that have historical knowledge of the team that I don't.
Right.
But like for that type of thing, it can be helpful. But like AI can't ask. AI doesn't know context. AI isn't going to give you context about players' lives outside the basketball court. AI is just going to tell you how many points per game they average.
No, I think that's actually a great way to use it, you know, because it does save you a ton of time, although you still have to go back, I mean, and verify.
You still have to check it.
So,
right,
I mean, it probably cuts, you know, an hour off. I don't know. Like I've been telling people, you know, like with YouTube press conferences, right, rather than me go through and transcribe, what I can do is, you know, YouTube does have the transcribe, but it doesn't format it. So what you do is...
Your voice memos do that now, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what you can do is you can copy that transcript that's not formatted. You can throw it into ChatGPT and just say, hey, format this for me so it's more easily readable. And that, you know, that's helpful. You know, there are definitely ways where you can use AI to help you, you know, just have more time in the day. But in terms of like reliability for, hey, which Alabama players in the last 10 years came from Memphis? I'm going to get J.C. Latham and Brad Carson.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not quite there yet.
Nope.
So, I mean, again, with help like yours, maybe it can get there. But I would just let Elon and XAI figure that out on their own down there in Whitehaven. Right.
Well, pretty soon we may not be able to help AI because the air is going to be so polluted.
That's right.
It's going to be 20% dumber. Right?
That's right. You know what else AI can't do? It can't manufacture iPhones.
Sam Hardiman.
All right. That's your next job. Once you get inevitably put out by the Memphian because of AI, you're going to get a job manufacturing iPhones in Kentucky. Okay.
Is that where they're manufacturing iPhones?
That's what they're trying to. I think we're starting with glass. We're starting with glass, and then we're bringing manufacturing back, man. That's the idea.
We were talking about yesterday. We were out on the course, and I was standing around with Parth and Munns, and we were talking about when we went to the Bahamas, the first Tigers trip to the Bahamas, to the Bahamar. I don't know if you remember that, and we accidentally stumbled upon. A place where they make cigars. Maybe I'll just do that.
Yeah.
Although it did feel a little bit like a cigar sweatshop. Like there were children in there rolling cigars.
Oh, totally.
Oh, no.
In downtown Nassau. I don't know if that was a great idea, but we stumbled across, we ended up, actually, true story. You guys might remember this. It was so expensive. We were talking about how expensive it was at that resort the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
It was $30 for a pulled pork sandwich. Mm. And Munn said he's done the math, he's done the research, and that it remains $30. So I guess the tariffs haven't quite gotten to the pulled pork sandwiches yet in the Bahamas.
Right.
But we were talking about this, and because we have a conscience and we couldn't think to spend $30 and charge it to the Daily Memphian and the commercial appeal for every single meal, and also because we couldn't eat a pulled pork sandwich for 7 straight days.
Right.
And the cheeseburgers were $52 with
Golly.
An egg on it.
Golly.
Parth just texted he actually did it on the sly.
He took a private jet.
Because of that, we decided, with the help of one of our CA photographers at the time, we went on the Jetly, a.k.a. the bus, and it was like 25 cents. And we would take it into downtown Nassau. And I remember we did two things. One day we went into downtown Nassau. We did two things. We walked around and we ran into this like cigar shop that had like this amazing mosaic at the bottom of the pool. And like kids and other people in there making cigars, which was crazy. And then we also went into like a liquor store. I guess, to buy beer. And I'll never forget they had a they drink Kalik down there. That's the name right. of the beer. I walked in and they were having a sale of three Kalik for $3. So you get three bottles, glass bottles, for $3. It's a dollar each. And so we had a game later that day, or like a practice or something. And I was like, I can't really be drinking before I do like an interview or something, whatever I was doing. I might have, but I was like, I can have one. So I did the special because it was cheaper than buying like a six pack of beer. And I paid the guy $3 and I took one beer and we all took one. There are people that just drink in the liquor stores in the Bahamas, right. like Whoa. Inside the liquor store. They just hang out and drink. They were very mad that I didn't take all three of the beers. Like they viewed it as like a disrespectful slide. That I would pay for three and only take one.
Oh, wow.
Was it dangerous in town there?
I don't think so.
I don't think the Bahamas is
it's not dangerous in town.
Seemed pretty happy-go-lucky.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. Cool.
But anyway, side note, but that the Bahamas was wild.
Well, you'll have equally interesting stories to tell us about your travails in Berlin and London. That'll be exciting. In the meantime, we got to figure out the wing situation. Chris Harrington wrote about it today at the Daily Memphian in terms, you know, he's doing this mailbag series and. You know, that is, I guess, something to sort through there. You have we're penciling in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as a starter, I assume?
I think so. I think Jalen Wells and KCP are probably your favorites to be starters on the wing. But there's a jumble there. Like, I have a hard time figuring out where they're going to play Gigi right now. And do we put him in the wing mix, or do we consider him more of a four? And then with Vince, it's just so hard to know what you have. I put it this way this morning when I was hosting Jeff's show. I sort of view Jalen Wells as more trustworthy in terms of who do you trust to be a quality player for the Grizzlies over the next 2 years. I think Vince might have a little bit of a higher ceiling, and I think me and Chris Harrington are kind of on the same page with that, because if you look through Chris's mailbag, and you should go read it at the Daily Memphian, like all of the advanced stats on those two players are extremely similar. In fact, Vince has probably a little bit of a slight edge when it comes to non-scoring statistics. So there's obviously more to the game than scoring points, and they're both low usage players. It's hard to gauge the ceiling, but I think at some point you have to try to mix Vince in on the wing in addition to those two.
No, I mean, it's interesting when you know, you talk about Vince and you look at his numbers now. You know, I'm sure that there's some noise in these numbers, but basically Vince Williams is better in every category than Jalen Wells. I mean, rebound rate, assist rate, steal rate, block rate, turnover rate.
There's some noise in there, though, because if you consider the season in which Vince compiled those statistics, it was a season of incredible opportunity. And look, Jalen Wells played a lot last year, too, so maybe it evens out.
Yeah.
But and then the one we didn't even mention that's the big curveball is Cedric Coward, which we don't know how good he will be. We haven't seen him play in summer league. But there's no question he's going to get a lot of opportunity for this team because of what he means to the future.
Yeah, I mean, I just think with Coward, you know, I'm very reluctant to put the expectations on him that seem to have been placed upon him. You know, by other people, but you know, I feel like when anytime you start talking, I mean, this guy was like with a straight face compared to Jordan, and I don't think anybody should ever do that. I think that's all. Like, I think it should be off limits to compare somebody to LeBron, to Kobe, to Michael Jordan, because those are.
I mean, we got Tony Allen compared to Jermaine Mashak, or the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, Tony
Allen's fine. Jordan is off limits.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Allen was like an average NBA player. I mean, he had some really great defensive years, but he was an average NBA player who couldn't score. Like,
you should have a problem with this every year, though, because
nobody compares people to Jordan, bro.
Jordan is a little aggressive. I'll give you that. But you get outrageous player comparisons all the time.
Yeah,
that exists in every sport.
I mean, it does, but like, how many times can you honestly say that you've seen somebody compared to in the NFL to like, you know, Tom Brady? Nobody says, "Oh, this guy is." And, you know, now we had that with Paxton Lynch when he was at Memphis. Somebody on that Memphis staff said something stupid, but you know, it wasn't like, you know, David Thorpe is supposed to be somebody that the NBA.
What if David Thorpe is right? Will you? Can we come on here?
Yeah,
and give
sure.
him an apology to him?
The odds are extremely against him.
Extremely low.
Like, because
extremely
if,
low.
Because if he was that obvious, he would not have lasted. He just would not have lasted. What do we go 10th? They had to trade up to 10th to get him, or 11th.
He was a mystery, though. I think.
Yeah, but everybody had the same data. I mean, everybody had the
yeah,
same.
It's not. This isn't a Cooper Flagg situation in which you're crowned in high school, you're crowned in college.
Right.
Everybody knows you're a great player. This was different because that didn't exist in high school for
right.
him, and he was a big that yeah. didn't necessarily do anything except for grab rebounds and put the ball back in the basket. Then he goes to Division III. He becomes a little bit more than that simply out of necessity because the team was like, look, that's not a good Division III team, right? Let's just be honest. That
yep.
team sucked.
Well, I mean, it's a Division III team anyway.
But they figured out, wait, we have one guy who's really good. Okay, we should just let him have the ball all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people discovered, oh, wait a second, this kid is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a slow build to this point. I am not defending comparing him to Michael Jordan. That's not what I'm doing here. But there's a reason he was at 11, and it's, I think, because he was more of a mystery, right?
Right.
Had we seen him at Duke and he was awesome, he's not going at 11,
mm-hmm.
right? 6'6 guys with 7'2 wingspan that can shoot the three don't fall that far if they're a top of the class player. So maybe the Grizzlies got a discount on this, getting him at 11.
I mean,
maybe he won't work out. We'll see. But the Grizzlies are trying to be ahead of the bell curve here. They're trying to be ahead of everyone else.
Yes.
And saying, like, you know, we see what John Shire saw.
No, I do like that. I mean, John Shire, I have a lot of respect for. I mean, they were going to give him a lot of money in NIL. Like, you know, that's one of the things that has made me feel great about it. If he was still going to go back to, you know, Washington State, or if he was committed to Baylor or something like that, you know, I would feel a little less gung-ho about it. Why do you think the swings haven't really, like, worked? Like, no, like, every single swing the Grizzlies have taken has been a whiff. I'm not, like, to me, a second round pick is not a swing. That's like there's like no risk with that, because if he doesn't pan out, he's just like, now they've done great at evaluating value picks there. That's where they've been, where they've been excellent. But every time whether it's Marcus Smart, whether it's Zaire Williams, whether it's.
I wouldn't say it's like they traded up to get Brandon Clark, and that's been fine.
That really wasn't that. I mean, what was it, 30th? Or where'd he go? Like early 20s, mid 20s?
Jaren was an aggressive move, and I know that was a different quote unquote front office, but.
At four?
I'll tell you, the same decision makers, were making decisions there.
You think Jaren was a swing at four? I mean, I know he didn't play
people
that.
People didn't like him.
You're right.
People thought he shouldn't have gone in that
He didn't play that much basketball at Michigan State. But I think the defensive. But that's fine. I'll give you that.
Listen, I'm not trying to lie to you and say it's gone well. There have been swings that haven't worked out. The worst one, in my opinion, was Marcus Smart, because that was just a disaster from the beginning. Like, I don't think Marcus was thrilled with it to begin with.
Right.
I think there was tension from the beginning. I think part of the Taylor Jenkins falling apart sort of in the locker room is attached to that. I just think that there were so many things that went wrong with the Marcus Smart trade that felt like it was the worst and a bad decision. Was Zaire Williams a bad decision because you drafted a guy, 10th overall, that didn't pan out? No, because that happens all the time in the
NBA. Right.
Right? You're going to take chances in the lottery. So you're not, if you're going to swing, you know, you're not going to hit every ball, right?
Yep.
So
that is true.
The
best hitters strike out quite a bit.
Quite a bit. So I'm not ready to say that the Grizzlies are never going to hit on one of these things, and maybe Cedric Coward's the one.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be more confidence in him than there's been in other players in the past. But I'm not at why have these swings not worked out for all kinds of different reasons, right? I think there was disconnect with Marcus right away.
Right. Agree with that.
I think Zaire was just not a great pick.
Well, honestly, they should have evaluated that a little better before they did it with Marcus. They should have checked and seen.
I think that'd probably be a fair criticism.
Because, you know, how many times do we hear about guys not wanting to play? I don't even want to say like Memphis, but it's like, you know, that was one where you're literally taking a guy away. You're trading, or not taking a guy. You're trading for a guy that's only played in one team his entire mm-hmm. career.
I mean, we'll see what happens with Zach Edey too. Like that's the one swing we haven't talked
sure,
about.
Sure, you're right. Yeah, I mean, top 10 pick,
and he was in rookie of the year conversation. I think towards the end of the year, he flashed some really good ball. Like he may end up being a center of the future, and that's a swing you feel good about.
Right,
Jalen Wells. You know, some of these also. Is it much of a swing if you're going to say, like, you upgraded Gigi Jackson from a two-way contract to the main roster, or Vince, or any of that? No, I don't think so. Those are minute swings. Jay Huff worked out plenty fine, I thought, for the team. Small swing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when you miss on the big ones that we come in here and we talk about it, and we don't forget those.
Yeah. Well, the good thing for the Edie thing, the good thing for you could already sort of plot this out. There's not a single player that got drafted after him that I'm that worried about being so much better, right?
Mm-hmm.
That where it's like, oh, how did the Grizzlies not draft this guy? Because I think it was a weak draft anyway. And then, you know, once you get past number 9 overall, like the best players in terms of, you know, contributors last year, Bouzelas for the Bulls, Bob Carrington for the Wizards, Khalil Ware at 15, Tristan Da Silva for the Magic. I mean, you're getting into a bunch of guys. Like Ryan Dunn at 28 was a good pickup, but like nobody's ever going to say, how did you not take Ryan Dunn at 9? I think the Grizzlies are basically shielded from any criticism.
Yeah, they might be safe from that. The other thing on 82, like I expect NBA teams to get the scheduled drafts next week. So we're not far from the schedule. Usually it's August, mid to late August. So if they get drafts next week, you know, it could be the following week or 2 weeks later that we get the schedule. That's going to matter for the Grizzlies, especially if Zach Edey's not going to play, you know, for a month plus the season, which is certainly a possibility. You hope it's light, because what you don't want is some brutally difficult schedule early in the season and the Grizzlies fall significantly under 500 and the season is crumbling, the fans are frustrated, the players are frustrated, and you haven't even had a chance to get off the ground yet. I mean, the league sent Memphis to Europe. I guess they could somewhat consider it as a favor, but they also took away the MLK Day game. If I'm the Grizzlies, I'm nudging going, come on, guys. We'll start the season in Utah again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, get us some help here. We got to win some games early in the season and stay in this race as long as we can.
Yeah, so we're talking to Drew Hill here. Covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He's going to be out at the golf tournament all weekend, or what do we got going?
Yeah.
Weekend. You got your your warm-ups on. You look like a baseball player.
I'm wearing full tights. I have shorts on over top of them. I don't look like Buddy the Elf in here, I don't think.
Yeah. I think it's an absolutely ridiculous fit, but
it's a preposterous fit. But let me tell you, there's a reason for these things, John, and that is that first of all, I don't know if you've seen my beard recently. It's a little red.
Mm-hmm.
So I burn easily. So I got to keep the
legs.
That's
the Caucasian.
Exactly. That's the Caucasian. So I got to keep the legs covered because I will go home tonight and I'll look like a tomato. So that's one reason. And two is I don't know what this is. If there's a doctor listening, we may need a diagnosis. I get sun rash or something every single time at this tournament because I do so much walking in the heat.
Right.
And my legs just explode with some like burning rash on my calves every single year. And this is a way to keep the sun off of.
Have you tried this method before?
I bought this last year at the golf tournament because my legs were totally on fire by the time I was walking out there on Sunday. And so I left Southwind last year. I drove to Dick's Sporting Goods. I bought these. These were in the basketball section, you know, because we got a lot of basketball players that wear tights now. I bought them. I wore them on Sunday, and I have kept them. And now I'm going to wear them and wash them every day I'm out at the tournament this week.
Okay, well, good for you, man. I mean, you know, sunblock does exist. Does that not work for you?
It does. It does work, but when you're doing that much sweating, you have to do a lot of reapplying.
Right.
So it's rough.
Okay. All right. Well, pray for Drew as he battles through his heat rash.
Me and Lucas Glover. We're just we got.
I love Lucas Glover. Is he playing in this?
He is playing in this.
Have they? They've started, right?
Team Swamp Ass.
dudes, I tell you, that was such a legendary tournament. Okay, yeah, so Justin Rose, Harry Hall, and I can't pronounce, Akshay Bhatia are tied 6 under at the top. Who's like Scheffler? I guess he hasn't gone yet.
12:45 he's teeing off.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other stars. What's our guy Justin Thomas we liked for the Memphis Rap?
Yeah, he's good.
He's 1 under through 8.
A high school classmate of mine, Justin Thomas.
Oh, really? Oh,
very nice.
That's awesome. Okay. So you'll be out there covering it for the Daily Memphian.
I'm looking for the circus today. I said that earlier on the show. I don't know where the chaos is going to be, and it is Thursday, so it might be a little calm. But
right.
I think I'm going to find it in Scotty. So I'm going to head out here and walk with Scotty. That's the plan.
I know we kind of do this like every week we have you on, but you know, success next season. You know, is it just being the 6th seed in the West, is that success?
It is not connected to order of finish whatsoever, in my opinion.
I feel like I'm sitting across from Zach Kleiman right now. That feels like a Zach Kleiman answer.
Maybe, but it's true. I think we've talked about this is what I wrote for Athlon, the magazine. Been talking about that all week too. The preview. I liken the Grizzlies to a standard sedan that just left the mechanic shop. And you don't know if this car is going to get on the on-ramp to the interstate and keep driving down the road, or you don't know if this car is going to make a U-turn and go to the trade-in at the dealership. The goal is to keep this car on the road going forward, and I don't think order of finish is necessarily, especially with injuries with Zach Edey hurt or whatever, is going to make you feel confident about the direction of the team. If the Grizzlies are a play-in team, but Ja returns to 2022 form and looks awesome and plays 65 or 70 games, and Jaren still looks like a star, and Cedric Coward, you can see the potential in him going forward. Maybe he's not quite ready yet, but you can see the potential going forward. Are you ready to break that up? Like, I don't think so, right?
Yeah.
So order of finish is kind of relative, I think. It matters to the fans. I understand that. And everybody, you know, it's been a hard reality to come down from, like, oh, we were second in the West and we're not that team anymore. But that has sort of arrived. Now we're in the retool phase, in the we weren't good enough phase, trying to figure this out. And the answer to whether or not they can be that team, I don't think, lies in where they finish in the West. It's just
right. I don't know. It's just weird. It feels like Cedric Coward is the most important swing that they have taken because of just the timing of everything. You know, like, I just feel like there's a lot of pressure on this.
No one wants a full rebuild.
Right.
And I don't think the Grizzlies want a full rebuild.
Well,
they're expressing to you that that's not what they're trying to do.
I don't think they should try to do that. I think, I mean, that they were, what, 4 wins out of the second seed last year? I mean, it's not with, you know, all the missed games, and I guess everybody misses games, but still, like, 4 wins. I can find 4 wins that should, you know, losses that should have been wins or whatever the case may be. Like, I don't think they should be in that. I don't really think they should be close. I mean, honestly, if they get any kind of, like, real jaw, I don't think they should be close. But it's just weird to kind of go from, like, what they were, and now you're, like, the vibes are just so sour, it feels like. We don't know that they're better necessarily after all of these moves, which is also the other weird part about it, is they're probably not better. They're not priced better in the market, you know?
They're probably not better. And again, this is why it doesn't matter necessarily.
What's it building to, I guess? Like, it's like, okay, we're going to do this holding pattern, and then we're going to package the Phoenix pick and other things, and then we're going to do something like what?
No, I think it's building to using that Phoenix pick, having Ja and Jaren in age 26 seasons, 25, 26 seasons, going into the middle of their prime with young talent that is extremely good, if not all-star level talent or fringe all-star level talent. And like, that Phoenix pick is the one that is circled. Like, that's part of the reason why they've done these deals, was to get that Phoenix pick, and in a good draft, by the way, coming up, and putting those pieces together and feeling like, as to borrow the Grizzlies' words, there's a higher end outcome there than saying, well, if things break right for us and Ja stays healthy, maybe we can get to the Western Conference Finals. They're striving for more than that. But you can't get to more than that without assuming some risk, without taking on some risk. So that's what they've done. So should you feel more confident that the team's going to be better this year? No, I don't think so. Not with the changes they made to the roster. Is it possible that 2 years from now they're going to be better than they were because they have players that have a higher ceiling? Yes. I mean, I think that's just the nature of the league, right? That's the nature of trying to build a team. And so, but if you feel like that path isn't one that works, then what are you doing here holding on to them?
No, I agree.
And you just go full rebuild.
Yeah.
One wants that.
Well, yeah.
But it is something that exists in the universe. Whether it can happen this year or not, I don't think it would happen. I don't think it's a reality. But if this season went off the rails, that is the danger that lies ahead now.
Yeah,
given
I agree.
The state of the team.
No, I agree with that. But I don't think we'll get there. That's my guess. I think the floor is going to be high enough to where we don't ultimately get there.
I think so too.
They'll keep tweaking.
And I think if you're a play-in team fighting for a play-in spot, then you're still way above that floor.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like they could be, they could just be like the Portland Trail Blazers, right? Like of old, they could just be like the Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, Portland Trail Blazers, which, you know, had some. Yeah, I think they did get to the Western Conference Finals eventually there. Mm-hmm. But they never, you know, I mean, there were years where every single year it was like Dame and CJ and that group could finally like be a contender, and they never quite realized that for one reason or another. But it kind of feels like that's more what this is as opposed to contending. As it could change, like they could do something, they could like throw the kitchen sink at it. But I mean, those Portland Trailblazers teams made the playoffs every year. You know, there's value in that.
Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge,
right.
Dame Lillard.
Right.
That's not a bad comparison.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, you just try to retool a little bit around it. I don't remember if they had Drew Holiday, if they ended up trading him away, I guess that's he's there now. But yeah, I just think that's probably what you would be, and I think that's good. I think it's good to be a playoff team. It's like not. It's like, you know, I know people want titles and everything, but like, you know, it beats the hell out of the alternative.
Before I take off, does this Raiders preseason game matter? New look Raiders?
Oh, totally. I mean, for vibes, I mean, it doesn't matter in come week one, but like, you know, you're trying to like the whole thing with Pete Carroll is we're going to make a statement. We're going to.
I put them on the interesting
preseason
games this weekend list.
I mean, dude, is Pete Carroll going? Pete Carroll and Geno Smith going back to Seattle tonight? I mean, that's as good as a preseason game is going to get.
Most interesting preseason game. Shadur starting for the Browns.
For sure.
Or Cam Ward starting for the Titans.
Honestly, Shadur.
I think so, too.
Only because like they've just totally stripped him of any opportunity to succeed, right? In my opinion. Because like they're not playing their top receivers. They're not giving him reps in practice. At least the amount of reps he should be probably getting as the starter who's going to play three and a half quarters.
I think he's a Browns starter by week 13.
Well, that's when the season is over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the end of the year.
Yeah, so
that's when they're just like trying to get him free reps because they're 0-13.
So what are they doing now? Not playing him.
Well, they are playing him.
Not in practice.
Well, they're playing him in the game, though. They're throwing him out there. I think they're throwing him to the wolves. I think there's no way he can succeed. Like, this is the NFL, bro. Like, everybody's got talent. Like, you're not going to go out there and out-talent anybody anymore, you know, if you're not.